Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Nikki.
Welcome to Swipe Fat.
Where dating's hard.
But dating when you're fat is even harder.
Now that we're doing episodes every other week, I feel like I haven't seen you in months.
That's not true. You literally saw me last week.
I know. but that's how I feel because like we just have really good catch-ups when we're recording. I have uninterrupted attention.
Attention. Got it. You know? Got it. Yeah. Well, that's not true. You've seen me and we still text every day. So your separation anxiety is showing. I don't know what to tell you.
I just want you to love me, okay?
No, I still see you.
I know. But you know what we actually haven't really talked about? Is your trip to Thailand.
Yes, I am home. Finally from Thailand. I was there for 2 weeks. It felt like forever and not long enough at the same time.
Did you meet any boys like you anticipated?
You know what? Jackie and I, Jackie is one of our listeners. She's been on 3 trips now at this point. We did a lot of flirting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I have, I follow like 3 people that we met now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did anything materialize? No.
Did it feel good to flirt?
Always feels good to flirt. Love a little flirt. Mm-hmm. Jackie fell in love for sure. Unfortunately, our last day at our hotel, I got so many bug bites because of this love affair. We really liked this bartender who was at the outdoor bar.
Can I stop you? Mm. You always fall in love with the bartenders at our hotels.
Yeah, there's a reason. It's because they give me wine. And they give me, if you become friends with them, they give you a lot of wine. They like this guy, he would give us free glasses when we would leave. So I would have bed wine.
Yeah.
He was always, I don't know if that's because he was new or if he was just doing it because he liked us.
Okay.
But
he wanted a better tip.
I don't know. I don't think so. We'll see. I mean, I'm never going to see him again. I don't think.
Did Jackie and him exchange numbers?
No, because the last night we were there, we went outside. I got bit by 900 mosquitoes. And like literally my legs were, I had 18 on one leg. And the mosquitoes are insane. His like manager was there. Every other night we were there, she was not there. And so we couldn't really talk to him like freely like we had been doing earlier in the week. But yeah. So she was going to ask him to come hang out with us at this like Sunday night market. And we just
didn't. Manager ruined it.
Honestly, we kept calling her cock block. Cause we kept seeing then cause then he wasn't working anymore. Like when the rest of the time we were there. So that was unfortunate. And I flirted pretty hardcore with our cooking instructor that we had in Chiang Mai.
He was cute. I saw the videos.
Yeah, we follow each other on the gram now. He's a little emo. Mm. He's too emo for me, man. He's just constantly like, life sucks.
Okay. Well, I think we call that. So when you say emo, I think like a cute emo boy who used to be a skater. And
you're thinking of an aesthetic. He's an emotional man.
Oh, yeah. I don't like those.
Yeah.
Okay. Or a Debbie Downer, if life sucks.
Yeah, I guess so. We were like, we didn't realize you were so sad. And when I asked him where he was hanging out on a Saturday, and he was like, you guys should go to this jazz bar. And I was like, okay, where are you going? And he's like, this club. Like, okay, why can't I come to the club? And he's like, it's really loud. I don't think you'll like
it. Well, he's not wrong.
No, I was like, I'm not going to a jazz club, Brian.
But you also don't love a club.
I don't love a club, but I definitely don't like jazz. He had my number all wrong.
But now you're back.
Yeah, it was a really great trip. Everyone was amazing. Yeah. It was great. We really all bonded at a drag show.
That tracks.
Which was amazing.
Because there was a plus size drag
There was a plus
performer.
size drag queen. And when at the end of the show, I asked our guide if he could have her come out to take a photo with us. And he goes, "Okay, so the fat one?" And I was like, yeah, JJ, the fat one. He's like, "Okay, I'll go ask the fat one." And he ran into the back. But I think I was really worried going to Thailand because I'd heard a lot of horror stories from people saying that, like, because they're just very blunt, and they don't mean it in a mean way. They're just like very, I would say, I mean, blunt is the right word, but
Yeah, no
forthcoming,
filter.
no
Yeah.
filter. Yeah. They'll just like come up to you and say, like, "Oh, you're fat," or "Oh, you have big boobs," or something like that, you know? No one ever did anything like that. But the only time, this was the only time that like someone like blatantly said like the word fat out loud. And any other time they like would use, it would be like a fat Buddha or like a fat woman statue. They always said happy.
Oh.
They'd be like, "Oh, that's happy Buddha. That's happy woman. That's happy." And I was like, "Oh, that's interesting that they like changed
Yeah.
it, you know?" Because I didn't realize that was what they were doing until later. I was like, anytime you describe a Buddha that's got a big belly, you say happy. So it's a happy Buddha. It's a
Maybe
fat Buddha.
they're happy because they're full.
I think so. And just like content, just hanging out. But yeah, I bought, oh my gosh, wait. Well, no one's gonna be able to see this, but I want
You
to
can
show
post
you.
a photo on stories.
Okay, hold on. Okay, this is my happy lady. And she brings good fortune to your business.
Oh.
And you're supposed to offer her makeup and other like cosmetics and stuff every day.
Do you have
I haven't
payment?
yet. I haven't yet, but I also have incense. They're like just a very almost superstitious people. And I said I wanted to buy one of these, and one of our guides was like, "Oh, you're Simu like me." And I was like, "What does that mean?" He's like, "A believer." And I was like, "Okay, I mean, yeah, I believe that she'll bring me customers." And I was like, "I want to find her." And he's like, "Oh, tourists don't want her, so it's gonna be hard to find her." And I was like, "I
Yeah.
need her." And then I found her in Chiang Mai.
She's
Anyway,
beautiful.
my happy lady. And one interesting little side note is that there's like little temples. They're not temples, but they're like little structures, like little houses, like all over the place. And that's where people are supposed to like do offerings in the morning and, whatever. And you would always see like red Fanta.
Okay.
And I was like, why are people like offering up red Fanta to like these gods? And our guide told us that like you're supposed to offer up blood, but because blood is so expensive that they just offer up red soda now.
Wait, did you say because blood's so expensive?
Expensive and hard to get.
Oh,
Like
I would
if you get
think.
it from an animal or something, like
Oh, I was
at the
thinking like
store.
their blood.
No, like from like you would go to the market and like buy blood or
Okay.
whatever. It's like it would be expensive for them. So they buy red Fanta instead. So that's why there's Fanta everywhere. And if you can't find red, orange is okay. So it'd just be like bottles of Fanta, but you're not supposed to move them.
Oh, okay. Did you go to 7-Eleven or McDonald's while you were there?
I didn't go to 7-Eleven, but like everyone else did, like every day.
Yeah.
7-Eleven's on every corner
Yeah.
there. To buy alcohol and stuff, and I was like, "No thanks, I'm good. I'm gonna just drink at the bar." But I did go to McDonald's once in Thailand and once in Taiwan. And well, the only thing that was different was that the meat is like the chicken is dark meat.
Okay.
Everything else was pretty similar. Oh, and they had a corn pie
Ooh.
instead of an apple pie. It's
Interesting.
like a sweet corn pie. Anyway, that's it. That's all she wrote. But one of the girls who went on the trip signed up for Bali.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So we've got, I don't know, I think like once people this is what she said. She's like, well, now I realize the flight isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I think I can do it again. She's like, I wasn't sure, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. And I
So she's
agree.
it wasn't that bad that she can do it twice
Twice
in
in
one
1
year.
year.
Okay.
And that's how I felt too. I was pleasantly surprised because if you can sleep for 7 hours, that's like half of your flight. And then the rest is like just going to Europe. I didn't think it was that bad.
Hop on a new series and you're there.
My dad watched a whole show on
What
our way
show?
home. Innocente. I made him watch it because I loved it so much.
It has subtitles, right?
Mean, you can watch it dubbed. It's a Harlan Coben murder mystery, and it's probably the best one I've ever seen. Really a lot of twists and turns. Didn't know where it was going. Had no clue. So confused first episode.
You love murder.
I love murder. I love it. Sticking in my veins. I love watching it. And now I know how to not die. Just one
Yeah.
more way to not die.
Okay. We are such different people.
I'm sure a therapist would have a lot to say about what I just admitted. So I'm glad we have one on the show today.
She's a fat therapist. I think she specializes in other things other than your weird murder fetish.
Yeah, maybe more relevant to the show than my murder obsession. But yeah.
Today we have on Kayla Stansberry. You might know her on Instagram as the Fat Positive Therapist. She's a licensed therapist that specializes in fat trauma, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Kayla, so you're a fat positive therapist.
Yes.
What does that exactly mean?
Well, I mean, I made up the term, but I find that it resonates with a lot of people. In that I started actually as the intuitive therapist because I'm certified in like intuitive eating, but
Oh, cool.
that was short-lived because I found myself extremely passionate about like fat advocacy work and health at every size. So I made more of a specialty in working with like specializing in working with like fat clients from a fat positive perspective. Like, so from understanding like social like systemic oppression and how that interweaves into our experience and you know there's a lot of really toxic diety stuff in therapy, and my goal is to try to eradicate that as much as possible. So I found putting fat positive in there like jarred people enough that they like made them have to stop and think and hopefully read something.
We know that we put fat in our name for a reason. Like, it scares people for some reason. Makes people mad.
I forget that it's scary to people because it's been so long and I just use it all the time now and I get
Yeah.
the pearl clutches and I'm just like, oh, I forgot.
How long have you been doing this for it to be so
I've been
desensitized?
desensitized probably about 5-ish years.
Okay.
I mean, I've been doing this for like not the advocacy like being on a platform part, but I've felt this way for probably like 7 to 10, but it was like a process of unlearning and like deconstructing the word.
You said that like therapy has a lot of like diety talk. Where do you feel like that? Do you feel like it stems from because in general, I feel like doctors have that like diety talk. Do you feel like it comes from that, stems from that?
So my arch nemesis is the book The Body Keeps the Score, which is has wonderful components to it, but the researcher who wrote the book decided when they saw a connection between fat people and experiencing trauma that they were fat because of the trauma and that they ate to avoid things like trigger warning, sexual assault, which is offensive to even put those together. And so this is given to therapists as a factual 100% statement that if someone's in your office and they're in a larger body, there's something that's like holding them back from being thin, or they're not taking care of themselves. And as someone who exists in a fat body and has for a very long time, that never made sense to me. It never physically made sense. And it never, so it's kind of silly that the therapists do this so much, when it's so easy to like flip that. And it's like, maybe they have trauma because they have a fat experience. So that's where I think a lot of it comes from, and just from society's fixation on dieting.
That being number one.
Yeah.
Clearly we're going through a renaissance of it too. Just,
I know,
packaged in a whole new fun way.
Yeah. They're trying to eradicate us.
Ain't that the truth?
Don't understand why they hate us so much. Or like, I mean, Alex and I are both content creators, and the way that I can just put something on the internet, like just living, it riles them up. Just so me being me. I made the mistake of actually using an audio that says beauty and hope and how I'm dying and all of these things. And it's like, you're not doctors. Also, my doctor doesn't tell me I'm dying. So what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, doctors have their own bias as well. So like, even everyone has the capacity, we all have bias. We all have the capacity for bias. So also, I don't understand what motivates someone to go into people's comments and put things like that. Like it just doesn't make sense. I'll wake up and I'll have like 10 notifications from the same person who just went through all of my videos and was like, this. And I'm like, you spent time doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, you were this mad that you spent like probably a good 45 minutes being angry at me for existing.
Yeah. I got one today, this morning. My algorithm is always testing me trying to be a good person. And this video really, it's really trying me hard. Just pass the video.
Just
pass scroll. It.
Just scroll.
I'm just living. We're just living.
Sounds like you're not a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's like, just shh. It's shocking how much people feel like they need to control the world around them. And I know this has to do with like body hierarchy, and we're all taught to compare and to compete. So whenever I say something about someone who I perceive as less than me, I get then elevated, right? So like, we know that's what's happening from a psychological perspective, but it still seems like such a waste of time, and that there's so much more brain space available when we're not doing that.
Yeah. Alex and I talk about like our internalized fat phobia. Like, we didn't realize how much there was until we started doing this podcast. And now like, we're tracking ourselves. Like, we'll say something about ourselves internally, or we'll see somebody else, and then we're like, wait, stop, check yourself. And like, it's like so hard to unlearn it.
Yeah. I think we do it forever. Like, I don't think that journey ever ends. But it's so worth it to deconstruct how we view and judge other people. Because when you stop doing that, there's like other stuff to connect with people with that we've never been taught how to do. Like, none of us have been taught how to connect with someone emotionally, but we sure as hell been taught how to like pick someone apart for their outfit, their hair, their weight, all those things. Like, so it's like getting rid of that to make space for actually being able to connect.
I think definitely once you like start to like work through how you feel about yourself, and then how you view other people in terms of how they look, their bodies especially, that noise does go away a little bit. But you really have to do the work, I feel, get to that point where like you're not thinking about it as much. But yeah, like Nikki said, like just like randomly will sneak back in where you're judging yourself against someone else. And then and where you're like trying to be like, well, I'm better than them because I'm smaller than them. I do that all the time. Still, we do that with everything.
We do that with everything. So it's not even just body size. Like it's kind of like this American dream component of like, oh, you have to fight to the top. But that doesn't hold space for everybody else, because there's always going to be someone that's a little bit better at the thing that you're doing, because it's impossible. There's too many humans in the world to be the absolute best. So this system is set up for only one person to be happy and the rest of us to feel like garbage. Like, so once we realize that this ladder, this hierarchy doesn't serve anybody, we get to actually see individual values based on like humanity, kindness, things like that versus how someone's hair looks. Or
as a therapist for mostly larger bodied people, do you see a lot of the same themes come up when you're working with people? That's like just a curiosity question for me.
Absolutely. And I talk about this a lot. So there tends to be certain both emotional and physical responses to having a lived fat experience, because it's traumatic to be in a fat body because of how people treat you. So we could see this through poor self-esteem, struggle with advocating for the self, poor boundaries, accepting really crappy treatment from loved ones or romantic partners, not even putting yourself out there at all due to fear of not feeling worthy, or so people block themselves out a lot from even engaging in the world. It impacts how we set our goals. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm not going to set my, if I am, you know, a larger bodied kid, I probably won't set a goal to be in a beauty pageant or to be a curator. I mean, I hope that's changing now, but when I was younger, that was probably not on the table for me. Because of my body. So it was like this barrier to even dreaming about what you want to do or who you want to be. So it comes up in everything.
Like, are there specific like therapies to help treat that trauma?
No, not at all. But you can kind of make shift or piecemeal some things together that I kind of have done in my work. And the biggest component is education and providing kind of a frame of reference as to why people don't like fat people. Mm-hmm. And kind of easing people in through that exposure, a lot of exposure. I give people like activities. Like, I want you to go out to like a popular place and I want you to pick up all of the romantic couples. And I want you to identify, like, are they all skinny or are they in midsize? Like, what, identify the body types. Because that's an exposure from what we see on television, right? So like, I think it's really important to identify that we're all socialized, like to think that everyone looks like the people from Love is Blind or, you know, whatever show we're watching at the time, which is fine. Gotta love it. But it's going to do something to the brain. And I want people to be socialized past that to realize that only 5% of the population looks like that, and love, happiness, success exists in all these other types of bodies. We just are never presented with it.
That is such a good exercise. I feel like I'm gonna start doing that, because I think that's such a mental block to be for people who are plus size, to like think that they don't deserve it because they don't see it. And I talk about this so much on this show, and I'm sure people are so sick of me talking about it, but representation does matter. And
absolutely, like,
I think that's the biggest thing for me as a kid. I grew up mid-size and I didn't see myself represented at all. And then when you did, which they weren't even really mid-size, it would be like Jessica Simpson's fat, Adele is gross, you know, like, so you're seeing these people who are being told, you're told that it's bad. You should be smaller. And if you're not smaller, you won't find love.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's a huge one. The love piece, especially because we are also socialized to believe that romantic love is like the end all be all of, and if you don't have it, you're not valuable. And I think femme socialized individuals are the ones that are hit the most with that. Like, if you aren't X, Y, and Z, like, someone will leave you or you're not going to be worthy of this love. And that isn't true. And it might be supported during our high school years, because high school, everyone is just trying to meet status quo. But after that, you start to see that like everybody likes different stuff, and that it isn't just one body that people are attracted to. And if you challenge your internalized anti-fatness that we're all working through, we see that even more, in that we might have a sexual attraction to a bunch of different body types, but not address it because we're worried about social judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest one that we've seen anytime we have talked to men, or like male presenting people. It's like that they are really worried about what other people are going to think about them if they date someone who's bigger.
I think on TikTok, I saw this, like, someone put together all of the like early 2000s shows of a couple, and where the man was saying something along the lines of like, don't worry, I'll still love you if you get fat. And it was a long clip from like How I Met Your Mother, like Friends, like all these different shows that had that sentiment in it. So like, how do you not, from both sides, like A, as someone who's femme presenting, feel that pressure, and then also someone who's masculine presenting, feel also that pressure of not wanting to be judged, because it's all about social currency, social social judgment on a larger scale.
100%. I think also we just saw it in Love is Blind this past season, where Clay talked about like AD, he wouldn't let AD get fat when she was pregnant. And it's like, what?
What? Like, hey, that's not even controllable. Like, you have no control over that.
But I was so glad they actually left in her calling him out for that.
As they should. Like, they really need to start identifying how toxic this is and how all these vulnerable people are listening to this and being like, this is how it is. Like, because we think we're all like, we're all taught to think that people on television are the goal. Like, I remember one time being in the car and hearing that like a famous couple broke up and being like, well, if they can't make it work, then how can I? And that makes no sense now that I think about it.
So many people do that, and I've never understood it. Or they get so upset when a celebrity dies, and I don't know if it's something in my brain where I'm not wired to like care. Like, I mean, I'm like, oh, that's sad. Like when people break up or somebody dies, that's sad. But like, it doesn't personally affect my life, so I don't understand. But so many people get upset, like if they're goal couples.
Yeah, it's like a model. Like
for me, Kyle and Mauricio made me so sad.
And I think it's it's a model, right? Like the couples are a model, but unfortunately these models that we're given are not the most like mentally stable individuals usually. And that's not like an insult. It's just usually they might have not engaged in any like reflection or insight. So we're putting these people on the pedestal of love, and they don't know how to love, or they don't know how to have healthy relationships, or they view that relationships should end if one person's body changes, and that's not really love.
Do you see a lot of people come in specifically wanting to talk about relationships with you that have insecurities because of being plus size?
Yes. I don't think I've ever had someone come in in a larger body who's not talked about this. And the interesting thing is they're not coming to me being like, I have trauma from my fat experience. They're coming in being like, I feel like a failure because of X, Y, and Z. And then provide some education. Like, okay, so if these are all the times that you've been taught that you were not enough, you know, so A, that's going to impact how you start relationships, how you cultivate them, how you seek them out, what you're willing to accept from a partner. Even that kind of body size can be used as like a controlling abuse tactic in relationships. Like, no one else will love you like I do because of X, Y, and Z. So it can be really problematic. And I do have a lot of people come in and they're not always trying to like, how do I find love? It's more just like, how do I create healthy relationships or feel from a place of value versus a place of, I just want to accept anything I can get.
We talk about that a lot. That's so, it's so hard because like, that's like your mindset that you're taught. It's like, you should accept almost like the bare minimum because like, who else would love you? Do you think like this is a generalization, but like, do you deal with attachment styles at all? Do you talk about them? Like, go through them with
sometimes
them?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you feel like a lot of plus size people have, what is it called? Insecure attachment?
Either that or anxious. Because avoidant attachment is usually more for people who are like willing to not have those close relationships. And you can probably, and then, yeah, this is a generalization, but I can see how that would come up more in like a thin person than in a larger body person, because let's be real, if you're in a smaller body, like your behavior gets excused way more than if you're in a larger body. I always used to get so cranky or mad at like movies where the main chick was a jerk because I'm like, I could never be a jerk. No one would talk to me, but like everyone's following this jerky girl. And I'm just like, that could not be me. So there's different rules in our society about like how you can show up. So that's where that anxious attachment might be more probable. Or if you're taught your entire life that someone's going to leave you for your body size, how are you supposed to trust someone? Even if they're like this amazing caregiver and so kind to you, you'd have to do a lot of self-work on that.
How do you work with someone on building that trust within, I know it's like within yourself type of deal. But how do you start that process? Like if you were going to give someone advice, just some basic stuff. I know therapy is the number one.
But it's not always accessible, right? And we want to have as much resources for people as possible, which is super important to me. So A, like I think you had said it earlier, but like exposure, curating your feed, making sure that you're bringing in as much of different types of bodies as possible. Also, I talk about how we all have neural pathways in our brains, which is just a fancy way of saying like hiking trails of thoughts. The more we think a thought, the better the hiking trail is. So if you never think a thought, it's overgrown. It's not, it's really hard to go down. If you think a thought a lot, it's like paved and you can very easily go from one place to another. So like we've been talking about the no one loves me if I'm fat. That's a paved road for most of us because we've heard it so many times. So the goal is to identify these pathways and ask ourselves if we want to keep them or not, because a lot of those pathways are given to us without our consent. Honestly, most of them. They're given to us from television. They're getting them from our friends, from magazines, what have you. Social media, before we learn to curate it. It's given us these connections, and these connections aren't real. They're not, they might be factual in some social circles, but not all. And it's like, okay, do I want to keep this assumption that if I become in a larger body, someone will stop loving me? Like I might be keeping it as like a way to force myself into a certain behavior, but do I want to be with a person who would stop loving me if my body changed, because we're all going to age and look different? Like those amazing. So, okay. Do I want to keep that? How do I start the process of not going down that rabbit hole so quickly in my brain, which is insight, reflection, processing in that way.
Journaling, like,
yeah,
just like talking to yourself more positively.
Like ask yourself, like a breakdown, a thought you might have and where you got that thought from. But you also have to couple that with exposure and community. Like, so these can't be done alone. And that's, I think that one of the biggest issues we have is we're very individualistic healers. And we are herd animals. So that doesn't work. We need people. We need humanity in some capacity. So you need exposure to believe that something is real. So if you're just doing this like by yourself, but you're still like watching television and getting your exposures the other ways, it's not going to work. Like you need to be around fat people. You need to be around like people who are fat and don't hate themselves, because like they're at least doing some of the work. No judgment to people who aren't. That's hard. It's hard work. you need it's very hard. So no judgment at all for me. you need to like be only seeing like larger bodied than yours on your social media spaces, because we need to normalize and challenge like the 20 some odd years you've had of seeing that only one type of body exists to seeing that all these other types of bodies exist. Because yeah, I've been working on that for about like 5 to 6 years, and to the point where if I am watching so like something like a reality show, which mostly thin bodies, I get very confused, because I'm like, where are the people that have different bodies? Like it doesn't make sense, because I've done this for so long. All my socials are so like curated intentionally. And I'm a big reader, so my kids take over my TV. So I don't often get as much access to television as I might want. so like my exposure is very low, and then I forget sometimes. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot people like this. Or like society is demanding that I like this. Exposure isn't incredibly powerful. And that's why we're all here in the first place, is because we were exposed to messaging that our body isn't worthy unless it is very tiny and blonde and blue-eyed and all that stuff.
You bring up curating your feed, which, you know, we're proponents of, but do you think that like there is an issue when you curate it only towards plus size people? Because I've started bringing other people into the feed, of people who I like their style, who I like their personalities, and they're good people. They don't like harm me, but I feel like there's so many people who only are now curating plus size people in their feed, and then they don't see anybody else. And it's almost a herd mentality of we're only seeing like you like create your feed into this one. We're all saying the same thing. We're all thinking the same thing. And so you don't have other points of views.
This might not be popular, but yeah. I do think that when you're starting this journey, you need to like mute people that are smaller than you, because you've been exposed to that your entire life. So we're having to challenge, however old you are, your entire life, you've been getting constant messaging every single day that you are not enough, that these bodies are better. So initially, every time you see that body come back in your screen, you're going to be like, oh, that's what I should have. That's what I should have. When you've reached a higher level of healing, you can definitely, like, I don't just fall within people anymore. I do have people, like, because I'm really into social justice and advocacy, that, but still umbrella under the same concepts, but don't hold a larger body. So you can get back to there, but I would start hard to be able to reset the balance. And then as you feel safe, you can add people back in that don't make you feel like you're not enough, because that's what we're getting. We're getting that messaging of I'm not enough because I should be like this person. And that's what advertisement was curious. That's what like fashion, all that stuff does. Like you need this thing, this wonderful thing, which is great. Like, you know, buy the things that you love. But at the same point, we have to be considerate on what those messages are showing us and how they impact how we view the world.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think we're like, you're inundated with that. And it's the same thing as, I mean, for so long on Instagram, they're like, they wouldn't show. Like fat people just wouldn't be shown as much as plus size. Like you would see straight size people get a lot more like likes and all this stuff, because I think people are so programmed to like the thing that they think society wants and likes.
And that this is what we're challenging. And the consequence of that was, so if all your only, your Instagram is mostly thin people, right? And say you're the only fat person in your friend group. There's a likelihood that they'll cut you out of photos because it doesn't meet their feed. And like, that's a traumatic experience that I also work with people on, is this exclusion based on your aesthetic or how you show up in the world. And we want to, we're pushing against that. And I don't think we're shutting the door on learning later, but I think we can take a break from the things we've been exposed to for a really long time to allow other people a chance to like be that content creator, to show up in these spaces and say like, because I'm with, when it comes to like my relationship with adornment, I didn't start exploring adornment until I saw other fat people exploring adornment. Like it took TikTok, because like they would come up on my feed and I'd be like, oh, that looks good. Like I didn't know we could dress like that. I didn't know. it's so powerful. Like seeing bodies in movement is so powerful, because then you're like, wait, okay, if they can do it, then I could probably buy something similar. Like, so it's incredibly powerful to find bodies that are like yours or larger, because then we're also just exposing ourselves to as much as possible.
I think I started with bodies who are like mine, and then I expanded, you know,
yeah.
Like exact, like almost like, or I was like, oh, well, she dresses like, you know, like I want to dress like her as a plus size woman. Okay. And then like, it just like grows from there.
Yeah. And honestly, when I first started like years and years ago, I was probably following thin bodied people. And like, you know, that like are leaning over and squishing their belly. And like, that was probably my introduction too. And I think that there's space to go, I call that like the shallow end of the pool. Like you're walking in slowly trying to get acclimated. In that moment, I needed those girls' approval to keep going forward. And so I don't talk to anyone who takes whatever journey they need to take. But that there are arguably, it took longer because I started there. And was just okaying it like one size up at a time.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if you follow Caitlin from Sass and Cellulite.
Yeah.
But she had like the same journey, was basically like had to do I had to see the smaller bodies do it first and then gradually work up. She did like a whole post on it, but I was like, I think I did the same. It was so long ago that I can't even remember. But I think that's probably how I started too. Cause I think I had this internalized fat phobia when I saw fat bodies. I was, I don't want to say like, I was like gross, but I was sort of like, ooh, cause you have this like moment where you're like, bleh. And it's the whole going back to the thing of like, they have confidence. Like how dare they have confidence? But I had to get there myself. And then I remember when people would say the thing, like they'd be like, oh my God, you're so brave for putting on like a bra and put, you know, showing that on the internet. And I remember thinking like, I am so brave. And now it annoys me. People say it to me because I'm like, this is like the least amount of brave I could be is just to be in my body. So it's such a journey, you know?
That's exactly what I was gonna say is like, let's hold space for the journey, right? Like that wherever you are in this, whether you are at the part where you need to mute all the thin people to only see the fat people, or you're the part where I'm feeling a bit better, I can add a thin person back in if they have something like really cool recipes or something. Like, it's a kind of a long human journey and there's a bunch of different routes to take. I think the best thing is just like, how many tools can I have to be able to move through this when my environment is communicating against me, like, and that's hard.
So to take it back to dating, I love that exposure therapy idea. If there's someone who's listening to the podcast and is like really trying to get back out there or get out there in general, just start dating or maybe exposing themselves to apps or something like that, is there a place where you would recommend they like start?
That's, dating is so tricky, I feel like, in this, because the apps give you the most exposure, but because of that, you're wading through a lot of like different types of people. But what I have found is that the most powerful thing you can do is put yourself out there and be like really clear. That means you'll get less people engaging, but you're going to have people that who are engaging with you that are more into your value structures. Because what I found with a bunch of clients is that what would happen is they would go through a lot of physical movement, their body might shift downward, and then they would start dating. And then they would find a partner and their body would go right back to where it was before. And we were having a lot of conversations about like, so do you think that it was actually your body changing, or do you think it was that you had confidence to then put yourself into the dating world? And that was probably more of what was happening, because they're still in the same relationship and their body is back to what it was. Like, that there are people out there. It's just being open, which is scary and really, really vulnerable.
When you say putting yourself like fully out there, are you like talking about just like pictures? Or are you saying that they should like be putting that they're plus size or fat in their bio? Do you have a thought of that?
I don't know if you would say that, but like maybe saying something along the lines of like, that I'm happy with like my body. I don't know what that could entail. I also acknowledge that like my approach, like I'm an Aries, I'm a fire sign, like I'm pretty in your face. So I do hear that my approach is not for everybody, where I'm like, this is me, kick rocks if you're not interested. I'll go have a lot of cats and I'll be happy, because I would. But that is not the case for everybody. So it's like finding what meets your personality type. And, you know, but I would be fully yourself as much as possible in a dating space, like full picture, whatever feels good. Also, take lots of pictures of yourself. Like, please do that. Like, you don't have to put them on the internet, but get all dolled up and take a bunch of selfies. That is so good for our self-worth, because we're exploring angles, we're exploring body movement, like, and then showcase that and let yourself like be proud of that. I know it takes a lot, and I'm doing a lot of cutting corners right now. But I would just show up, because if you show up yourself, then you're not going to get the people who are scared of you or the people who haven't done their own social work to be able to challenge social pressures and status quo stuff.
I mean, I think you could say that even about bios, because I think sometimes people will, they want a wider pool to work with. So they're making themselves a more generic version of who they are when they put up information about themselves, because they don't want to scare people away. Like, let's say you're like really into politics, but maybe you don't mention that right at the beginning. I think that's also what you're talking about, right? Like, maybe just like make yourself a clearer, fuller picture of yourself than like watering yourself down, because that makes yourself like, you're like, oh, at least I'll have like a wider pool to work with.
And that's the idea that we want the most, right? Again, the competition, like I need the most people interested. But most of those people are, especially online, like they're not the best, right? So if you show up and identify like, oh, I love dogs and I'm allergic to this and whatever, I'm super into politics, the people who don't match are they're not going to try to engage with you. And that's good because they'll probably waste your time if you get into like a third date and, you know, you find out like something really awful about their belief systems mm-hmm. and you didn't know that before, which I know is like a big thing in the dating world. Like we're supposed to like, we're taught to start like mild. So you can choose to start where you want, but if it's something that's important to you, you'd be not wasting your time if you were just clear.
I mean, I might start putting body positive in my profile because I did have, I mean, online even people will, I have it in my profile in my Instagram and I've had people, like guys, obviously these are like jerk troll people, but they'll be like, oh, I just saw that you're body positive. Obviously this is what you think, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, yeah, duh. So then bye. Like I wasn't trying to attract you anyway, but you mm-hmm. somehow got here. But if you put that in your profile, I mean, maybe that would help. I had an experience recently where a guy like asked me to be smaller, after dating for like a month. And I think maybe if I'd had that in my profile, he would have not wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't see this part of me as a problem. And if you're walking into this thinking I'm a fixer upper, then kick rocks. Like,
yeah. And I think that's what he thought. I was a fixer upper.
Yeah. Don't ask me my body goals.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't. And because that's so normalized, that might be jarring to some people. And I can hear that. But if we normalize it the other way, which is just having a bunch more people do it that way, then when people are walking into conversations, they don't feel comfortable telling people to be smaller or to change their bodies, because that's absolutely a ridiculous thing to do.
Especially because he wanted me to have babies. So what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, no,
we're just going to expand more.
Yeah, you want to, like, having babies is the best reminder to realize that you have no control over your body. Like, there's nothing about it. Like, it was a great wake up call in that way, where they were like, I was like, oh, I have no say in this from my brain. It's all going on outside my control. I think people are just unrealistic about it, and that, like, again, they just put a lot of pressure on femme socialized individuals, like how they show up, and like that your entire value is how small you can get, which that takes us out of political spaces. That takes us out of reaching our own goals, because we're all probably too hungry to do it. Like, there isn't there's a reason that this is all. There's a reason that we are socialized this way. It keeps us complacent.
Keeps us small.
Mm-hmm. And always.
So I see you have retreats. Do you have courses?
I'm working on putting together one. I have one for therapists.
Okay.
I'm working on putting together one for like everybody, like a regular person, to be able to kind of condense everything that I've talked about in this and like have more reflection. It's in process for sure. And my hope is to get some writing out there eventually about some tips and tricks and just again to help as many people as possible who don't have access to therapy.
Yeah.
Are you taking new clients?
No. I wish I was. I'm like very booked in the client department.
But people can always follow you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I talk about everything that I'm talking about there. A lot of my advocacy work is around fat trauma, is around kind of like how we show up in relationships, and just kind of intersectionality and things like that.
Is it Fat Positive Therapist everywhere?
Yeah. Great. I'm not doing as much on TikTok right now, just because, you know, it's a chaotic app that I love, but it's hard to keep up with sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say mostly on Instagram right now is where you'll get like regular educational content from me on how to start challenging some of this stuff.
Amazing. She also will talk about Taylor Swift and other stuff too. So you're a fun follow.
Yeah, you don't know anything until you make Swifties mad. It's a whole other world.
It truly is.
Every time someone says something about Taylor Swift, I'm like, oh, I'm scared for you.
Well, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. I think the more conversations we have about this stuff, just the better off we'll all be.
Mm-hmm.
And then holding a lot of flexibility for where everyone is at in their journey.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're all on our own. Like, that's what's something so important to like think about, especially like looking at the internet, because I like can judge people, be like, oh no, but it's like, no, they're on their own stuff. Like,
yes, exactly. And that's it's hard, like seeing someone go through like their own like weight loss thing, and you're just like, oh, okay, well, maybe they'll come back in a couple months.
Yeah,
like it just it's sad, and I think it's okay for it to also be triggering to people and to protect themselves. But depending on where you're at in your journey, that you can be exposed to it or not without it causing problems.
How was your pickleball meetup?
Lackluster. Yeah.
Do you think it's because you went without makeup on, or just it wasn't the vibe?
No. I think I look amazing without makeup. I'm not wearing it right now.
But your face was peeling. Like, you know, for me, that would be like a confidence, like take me down a level. Make me insecure.
I like did not care, but I think because well, I met a girl right away, obviously, because you know that's how I do. And I told her, and so she would tell me if my face was like peeling, and I would just put more moisturizer on.
That's womanhood.
Yeah. And we now follow each other. She's a medium. She's a medium. I know. And she was just great. I liked her a lot. She was funny. We were both like, yeah, none of these guys are our guys. But I mean, I was really just there to play pickleball because I was going to cancel because my face was peeling because I got a peel, a chemical peel. So my whole face was coming off. And I think she went really high into my hairline. So the thing that was hard was that it was like peeling a lot in my hair. So it made me look like I had lice. So that was fun. And she did my neck, which was new for me.
Ooh.
So my neck was coming off too.
I know, but that's kind of nice.
Totally.
That's very thorough.
Not in that situation where you're trying to meet a boy. But you know what? Boys don't notice these things.
I want my chest done.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I mean, you can really do I did my shoulders once.
Maybe my whole body.
You mean you really could. You could do your back. You could do anything. I do for hyperpigmentation because I have so many freckles and notes and like little things on my face. So I don't get rid of them anyway. So we each got, okay. So the whole thing was like, it's, I think the hard part is that there were too many people. So it was like 70, it was probably like 70 people.
Oh,
it was like too much. It was really loud in there. And like people were very preoccupied with like wanting to play pickleball. So I feel like everyone was kind of like more like, I want to play pickleball. Like I tried to talk to a guy and he was like kind of a dick because he was so into pickleball and was like, you got to focus. And I was like, okay. Like I think the whole point, and he had a game later that day. He was totally my type too. So I was like annoyed. I was like, you are someone that I would date. You're like a little bit, you look like a rugby player. Like I'm into it. But he was like so into pickleball that I think he just did not give a fuck. And then once we warmed up a little.
He forgot he was there to date.
I think most of the men did, honestly. Okay. They were all really competitive. And I'm really competitive too, but like so much so that they like weren't speaking. So anyway, they partnered us up with girl-guy combinations. And I got this guy who was just a little baby sweetheart of a man, very good at pickleball. So we did win two matches, which was really exciting for me. But he literally was like, I'm not here to date. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
Or was it that he was not there to date you?
No, he said he didn't want to meet any. He was like, is it bad that I'm here and I don't really want to meet anyone?
Then why was he there?
Because he wanted to get out there more. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, like to be here, he was like, if I just like want to, I think he wanted practice talking to people because he wasn't very good at it. Once you got him talking though, he was fine. I was like, then he was like, actually the reason I don't want to date anyone is because I'm like, I just don't think I'm ready. And I was like, okay, why though? Because, you know, now I want to dig. And because now we're friends.
Yeah.
Now Jay and I are buds. That wasn't his real name. He was like, oh, it's because I'm not financially stable. And I was like, Bro, I'm gonna tell you a secret. I was, well, first of all, I said you guys are all the fucking same.
Mm-hmm. All you're the same.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, what do you mean we're all the same? And I was like, you are, because this is the excuse I hear 9 times out of 10, that you're not ready because you're not financially stable is bullshit. I was like, you, like, if you're not emotionally ready, that's a whole mm-hmm. different thing. I was like, what we really want, like, secret, here's the secret. What women really want is just someone to be there for them emotionally. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, why are you guys so dumb?
And this was like a grown ass man.
Yeah, he was, I mean, I asked, he's young, like 30. In my mind, that's young.
I know, but still a grown ass man.
Totally grown ass man. He was like, I just haven't had like, I haven't found like my career path yet and like all this stuff. And I was like, that's fine. Do you have a job? And he said, yeah. And I was like, cool, then you're ready, bro. Like, we really don't care. Like, most women are coming to the table with their own thing. We just want someone who like can talk to us about our day and help us like complete goals and, you know, like all that stuff. Like, we just want someone who's there for us emotionally. I don't think that we're all looking for someone who's, and if we are, then we're probably like, if you're looking for someone who's financially, I don't know, I just feel like you're looking in a different place. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I think most women are just looking for someone that can fulfill their needs emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that blew his motherfucking mind. So he introduced me to his friend later and he was like, this is Alex. She's awesome. And I was like, thank you. He's like, she knows so much.
She gave me basic facts.
She gave me basic facts about how women just want to be cuddled. And you just watch a TV show with us. And if you bring me McDonald's every once in a while, I will be happy as a clam. You don't need to be doing the most, you know?
And just meet me at my level.
Leave me in this bare minimum and I'll be chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. This not ready stuff, though.
Yeah.
It is frustrating, man. It's just like, when are you going to be ready?
When they meet the person they want, they've decided they're ready for.
Or, I think it's the other way. Like,
or when they decide they're ready, then the next person.
When they decide they're ready, then the next person. That's that whole green, red cab thing. Mm. You heard that theory?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's another time for another day.
Okay.
Serena Kerrigan talks about it a lot.
Oh.
That could be a whole episode. I might take a break with those, I don't know, speed dating things.
Okay. I mean, just not going to another one for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like calling it a break is acting like you go to them a lot. You've been.
Well, I went to another one in the meantime. Did we talk about that one?
The mixer? No, we didn't talk about the mixer. I forgot you went to that.
Yeah. I went to a mixer. That one I thought was a lot better in terms of like, there were guys that I was interested in talking to and no one was like competitively playing pickleball. You know what I mean?
Did we talk about this or did we just talk about it personally? Okay.
It's hard to know.
I feel like we haven't talked about it.
If we did, I think we just said it in passing. I'll just like do a brief run through. I did another mixer. It was a cocktail one. And I met one guy and gave him my phone number and then he did not text me, which I was 10% sad about. 90% like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked him, but it, like, honest, oh, I just remembered his name. I was going to say I don't remember his name, but now I remember. But it wasn't like, you know.
Yeah.
The spark was there or anything.
You also gave another guy your number or you exchanged Instagrams.
Yeah, I did. That was the following weekend. And that was sad.
You met your future husband.
Yeah, I was 90% sad about that one.
Yeah. And then you found out you guys don't align on goals and morals, values.
Yeah, I would say, pretty big ones.
Yeah.
Pretty big ones.
And you know what? At least you found out now, not 2-3 dates in.
Yeah, that was disappointing. We met in a bar, and that's like the thing. You're like, oh my God, it's happening. We're doing it. There's even a picture of us because my friend was like watching us have this like magical moment in a corner, like basically holding hands within meeting each other in 2 minutes. So we were like in love for sure. And we exchanged Instagrams, and then I went through his Instagram and I was like, red flags everywhere. Asked him some follow-up questions, and it was a no-go.
Some bigger red flags.
Bigger red flags. Yeah, I'm sure he felt the same looking at mine, so
maybe. Who knows?
Yikes, spikes. It was just sad.
I know,
like, you feel, well, because I hadn't gotten the text from the guy the week before. And then I was like, oh my God, success.
Yeah, success. And then it's the, well, it's never going to happen for me.
Yeah,
did that feeling come in?
Yeah, of course. The come down where you're like, fucking A, if I could just turn off my brain and be okay with your horrible morals. No, that's not a thing.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
I would literally kill him.
Well, we don't need you to be part of your murder documentaries you're obsessed
don't
with.
Don't worry, I wouldn't. That's against my morals.
Makes it sound like he's okay with murdering.
He didn't murder yet.
Yes.
I don't know what he gets up to in his meantime.
Probably does murder animals, though.
100%. Loves guns. Loves guns. Loves Florida.
We should probably go before we talk any more shit about this man who's innocent and he didn't.
No one knows
for
who
this.
He is. I don't follow him anymore, so you can't go find him.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Because they try to.
He's not there anymore.
They love to investigate.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he unfollowed me. Mm. It's a mutual unfollowing, if you will.
Okay. Well.
It's a short-term love affair.
For the best. Short and sweet. You held some hands. You got some...
I had a boyfriend for about 2 hours, and it was great. We were really in love. We didn't even kiss.
That's how you know you were in
we
love.
We just held hands.
That's how you know. That's how you know. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Follow along with us on Instagram and TikTok at SwipeThat.
And if you're not a part of our private Facebook group, join that too.
Just search Swipe That Podcast.
And if you love us, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review.